things dissipate into to David gets to make decisions. So we won't do that. Jane, my understanding is, and I tend to agree, we ought to just sort of take the work session issues and go through it and try to
yes.
to move those cool. forward. And then
about 1 more hour.
I don't think we'll get through all of that today, so probably a future meeting look at how this might
work. Oh, okay, that's fine. So I'll probably be there.
I do see on the page that was passed out
okay.
Number 10 we're blank on, which is in
the green mill at the hotel.
Likelihood of landowner to sell.
Okay. All right.
We had no recommendation for what we wanted to. Do
yeah,
with that.
Probably about 115, 120.
Okay. Okay. Dollar requests, so we get real numbers. You know, I guess the challenge I would see with this is that's fine if you're talking about a property, but it's probably not making sense if it's a program of properties because you're not going to get. The information in advance.
Agreed.
So, are we going to drop that one then? Does anyone have a problem with us just dropping that?
No problem with that.
Okay.
You know, it seems like the ones that we can't actually make a criteria of, but that still is a good question. Maybe there could be some way that we could rack up all the things that would be good questions to ask, you know, during our presentations or some such, because this isn't the only one like that.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion as to how you want to attempt to do that?
I guess I would just go back through all of this stuff and maybe a couple of us could try to make that effort, somebody on staff, and then I certainly would try to. Because we've talked about this many times, you know, there are several issues that don't quite fit being a criteria, but yet they're pertinent and we shouldn't forget about them. And up until now, that's been more or less up to the individual counselor, but I don't think it would hurt to share that, you know, kind of punch list of good questions to ask.
You're talking about sort of a cheat sheet of questions to ask
at yeah.
the hearing. I don't think there's any problem with providing a list of potential questions that might be pertinent to ask to help council members think about things as we're hearing different presentations.
Also.
So, if I drop down then to 15, in application, address how project adds to existing contiguous protected tracts and or provides corridor links or other unique features. The rationale is that it conveys a strategic location or a strategic strategy to the proposal. Anyone have a thought as to, I mean, is this another one of those same questions? Is this project something that is part of a bigger deal? Either restoration or acquisition.
Connectivity is for him.
But again, if you're talking about an acquisition program with multiple parcels, this gets to what I was trying to get the DNR to actually give us some guidelines on today, you know, in their SWOT, whatever their analysis is, that they seem reluctant to say their criteria actually works. I mean, it gives them a guideline, and then it's what if.
I don't want to keep butting in over other people, but I don't know how else to contribute here today because I can't see who else is racked up to comments.
We'll tamp you down when you're out of line. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, I certainly am used to that. Okay, so we talked about this morning, as you pointed out, and I still think it's a worthy subject to address in applications. And, you know, the question shouldn't end there, though. How does it add to exist?
You just broke up after existing.
The existing protected site, does it meet our, you know, our regional priorities? You know, just adding more to something that's marginal might not be what we really want to do.
In my opinion, this might possibly be just something that, you know, right now we're asking about the evaluation criteria number 4 is, does the proposal use a science-based strategic planning evaluation model? Well, this is actually an evaluation question. How are they selecting it? And this is one of those components. So there's the science-based, and then there's all of the other things. So maybe our question number 4, instead of just being, does this proposal use this, you know, a science-based in evaluation planning, we should say, describe the process for evaluating outcomes, or I don't know, just something that's, because this is a component of selection in my opinion.
Well, Julie, do you not like the wording that's listed there on line 15? Because you're talking about something even bigger.
Yeah, I think this is a component. Line 15 is a component about their evaluation tool and selection tool for where they're going to do their projects.
So you think it's a good criteria? Criterion?
I do. But I believe it's part of number 4 that is in our evaluation criteria already. But maybe it's one of those things that should be included. What is their evaluation model and strategy for determining conservation activities? What does it include? It hopefully will include things like contiguous tracts.
And it, you know, it's different in restoration versus acquisition as well, or at least it ought to be thought of differently. You know, how you restore a prairie that's adjacent versus one that's just large enough to stand on its own, or you've got to think about that differently. But if you take it as protection, it's a different thought process,
right,
at least.
But I'd like to know what their thought process is.
So do we want to ask the SWOT analysis question, you know, what is the SWOT, the DNR SWOT rating on this parcel? So that we have that, and if it falls below a certain level, why are you going to consider it? I mean, we couldn't get the DNR to give us any helpful criteria other than they've got this analysis tool, which they then bend the rules with based on not having enough baked into their analysis. Should we try using that tool as a baseline? I don't know. It feels like there isn't any real criteria out there.
Mr. Chair, David, I think the issue is that if we use the SWOT analysis, I guess as like an all-encompassing prioritization tool, you know, that would work for DNR, but, you know, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, their priorities, you know, we don't want them to run that for them, and so they've got a different system, and TNC has a different system, and, you know, so.
Well, but couldn't you be asking, if you're going to do a project that's going to end up in the DNR system, you're going to use the SWOT analysis, and we want to know how you're scoring. And if you're going to do a property that's part of Fish and Wildlife, I bet they've got the same criteria that they call something different.
And Mr. Chair, if I could again,
this is an informal discussion.
We have folks that are on, you know, the proposal development end of things that are sitting here, and I think
you want to listen to the
audience? I want to listen to the feedback.
I would say come on down. There's lots of room. If you want to sit here and be part of this discussion, we're happy to have this. We'll tell you when you're online.
But I would rather us develop something that is workable and not have, you know, us propose something that later on people say this is not going to work for us or this is unmanageable or we can't do
that. I'm with you. That's why I struggle.
I agree with where you're headed, David, but I guess I would not want to have it become
a break line.
Because you know, I don't have a good example here, but let me talk about roads or highways for just 1 second as an analogy. If you said that the only roads that we're going to improve have got to have over 5,000 cars a day on them, there's a lot of roads that are never going to get improved in this state, but they're worthy of being improved for the safety, on and on. And so I think the same thing happens here. There's projects out there that are worthy of being done, but they may not make the SWAT or whatever.
Well, that's why we heard the and but this morning.
Well, and I think it's valid.
But the question is, if every project is an and or a but, it's different than if you have the exception to the general rule.
That's a good point. And when we look at a SWAT score, it's a false negative or a false positive. If we see something that's a 40 or higher, we know that's a good piece of land based on our criteria. If we see something lower than that, you know, we need probably some justification, or at least what was it missing, for example. It isn't all just place-based either. If that's all you have going for you, you'll get the points for location and adding on to an existing unit, but you're not going to get the other parts that are important to us.
Can I ask a question here just preliminarily?
Sure.
I know that David, Joe, Julie, Bob, and Pat Rivers are there. Who else is there so I can help, you know, so it helps me understand who's saying what?
Go ahead. We'll go around the room. If you weren't mentioned, your name.
Emily Nelson of the Conservation Fund.
Steve Hawks.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that, please?
Emily and Steve are here, Jay.
Okay.
Bill Penning.
Who?
Bill Penning.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Yep.
Doug Hart, you of the Fox Lake Conservation League.
Can you repeat it, please?
Martin Jennings, DNR Fisheries.
John Schneider, Ducks Unlimited. Neil Feek at Nature Conservancy.
Hi, Jane. Grant Wilson, DNR.
Doug Hartke with the Fox Lake Conservation League.
And just in case, Grant Wilson, DNR.
I'm sorry. Could I read this back? I'm getting another call here, and so it's really screwing me up. I apologize. David, Joe, Julie, Bob, Pat, Emily, Steve, Bill Penning, Martin Jennings, John Schneider, Neil Feetham, Doug Hartke.
And Grant.
And the silent Grant Wilson.
Who?
Grant Wilson.
Oh, Grant, thanks.
So I just want to say that as far as, you know, just the DNR SWAT, you know, I think that the DNR does a great job, and I you know, as far as the SWAT tool for prioritizing sounds interesting. I've never seen it, but I also think that lots of other conservation groups and organizations and people have other tools available, and I personally would hate to impose one methodology over another, not knowing that the other isn't just as valid, even if it's different. So again, I go back to the criteria. I want to know how people are prioritizing their efforts and what their methods are, including the metrics they include. I don't want to have them all say you must meet 85 or higher in a SWAT. I mean, they just I want to know if there's other methods, what are those? And there might be some that are just as valid. And part of this, I think, is to get all of those methodologies and learn and grow and get the best outcome. So I would just rather have the current language changed to incorporate these things, which includes, does it consider X, Y, or Z?
I'm seeing nine.
There's you can't hear the
the heads are nodding, James.
Up and down.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, I would say give us your ranking out of, you know, what's the score out of your total? You know, is it 5 out of 5 or, you know, 35 out of 40, or what is your process and what is your score on this? And you know, then it kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. You know, what is criteria worthy, and what is what are good screening questions to ask? And some of this stuff could just go in, and the screening questions might be different. And the are you hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Like the screening questions might have to go to project versus program. You know. There might be questions that are appropriate for projects and not for...
Now we're not hearing you. Thank you. So maybe the key here is to follow what Julie is suggesting and ask for the appropriate tools that will be used depending on the agency involved, so we at least have a perspective. If it's going to be a DNR project, how are you going to rank it based on the DNR scale? If it's going to be a fish and wildlife project, how are you ranking it on their scale, and what are your considerations? So we have some guidance with how the folks who are proposing this are looking at it based on the scale that they're, you know, the end owner of the property.
I think, Jane, correct me if I'm wrong, because you cut out during the last time you were talking, but I think where Jane was heading on this is that it might need to be different for projects versus programs, because how in the proposal are you going to do that for every parcel if you've got 100 parcels on your list?
That's exactly right, Bill. Thank you very much. You know, I think we've already asked for the processes in existing criteria, as Julie pointed out, as we all know. And then if we can beef that up, we should. But we should also keep in mind that programs and projects are... the programs and projects are different, and there might be a set of screening questions that are appropriate for one and not the other, and vice versa.
Right. So
if we can beef up that process that they use and have them give us some more specific data as much as possible for whatever...
You cut out again, Jane. So I think we're on the same page here, though, that that, you know, if it's the worry could just be, you know, different for if you're only proposing a project, how do you come about selecting that one project? If you're implementing a program, describe the process of how you're going to prioritize, you know, the projects in your
within
program.
The program.
Yeah. And I would just also note that in 97A0056. Subdivision 13E, it already says right here, to ensure public accountability for the use of public funds, a recipient must provide to the LaSalle San Jose Heritage Council documentation of the process used to select parcels acquired in fee or as permanent conservation easements.
Yeah.
And we do that now. It's in the RIM program. We do that now by submitting our scoring sheet that we use to evaluate projects. This is our method for selecting them.
So if we wanted to make it more readily available and clear, we could have a separate area in the proposal that says here's specifically how we're prioritizing, and have a box that says prioritization strategy or
selection.
Something.
Yeah, right.
If that's
I would think that would be helpful.
Yeah.
If I may, just to clarify, we're talking about acquisitions here, correct? I mean, we do talk about, we're talking about projects versus programs, but within that, specifically, we're speaking of ranking and prioritizing and so on of parcels for acquisition or easement, whether it's fee or easement. Am I correct?
I think that's an interesting question because the restoration programs that are big restoration programs over more than just, you know, a parcel, do we have the same issue and concern?
So, like, if it's the roving habitat crew or yeah. the Shadow Lakes program or whatever it is on the enhancement kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm asking the question.
Yeah, no, it's a question.
I mean, we know we're moving away from not having evaluation of enhancement projects to evaluation of both restoration and enhancement projects. Is there a big enough perceived issue to try to or just a, not even an issue, just a lack of understanding about how you decide where to go? I don't have the same level of concern I do about acquisition that I do on, or restoration doesn't get as far to me in terms of concern as acquisition, because you're really talking about how many times you touch it in a 10-year period and what the need is and how convenient it is and all the rest of that. And you know, I'd have a tough time faulting anybody for with the backlog of restoration work that needs to be done, sort of trying to second guess why you count from parcel to parcel. So in my mind, it is an acquisition easement question. I'm seeing lots of nods.
Hey, this speaker will work better. I'm trying to use another phone differently here.
Good.
But I don't think it's crazy or infeasible to think of having different criteria for programs versus projects, and to go even farther, to have different criteria for acquisitions versus restorations and enhancements. And I think it's too late to start on that whole thing, obviously, for this round, but you know, we might start thinking in that way, because you know, we're trying to make one set of criteria fit two things that are at least two or three or four or five or six things that are very different.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, someday it'd be nice to have a kind of a more intuitive, you know, proposal submission form that takes you through, as I said, restoration versus, you know, enhancement versus, you know, whatever, and you only ask those specific questions, but we can't do that.
We have projects that include both.
Right. We do that already.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. When people log on, they have to check what their program is, and there's specific questions they answer based on restoration.
You need to apply.
I need to apply.
Yeah, and you'll notice that when you review the proposals, because there's a series of questions that are all the same for everyone.
Okay.
I would just say, I mean, but you may still want, up to you guys, I mean, you may want us to explain why we're picking restoration versus acquisition, and what the cost benefit is from our perspective, and help you kind of sort out how we're thinking about how we're spending the money.
There are not a lot of projects, though, where it's an either or in that.
I don't think. Yeah, I think it's maybe getting at, again, from a cost benefit standpoint, you know, why in this particular case within a program you're emphasizing restoration versus acquisition.
Yeah, if you have both in a program, that's different than if you're just doing acquisition or just doing restoration. But a lot of the restoration is on acquired property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a whole, you know, there's some outside of that, but the majority, I think, is probably tied to acquisition. Glaring examples that are not that way, certainly the forest work and some of that, but there's an awful lot of it that's connected. And I think it'd be interesting, but very difficult to quantify.
Yeah, and maybe difficult to quantify. Maybe just, you know, have us talk about it. I mean, it seems to me, if I were in your shoes, you want to kind of get into our head of how we're making the selections that we are and what our rationale is for what we're selecting and how we're choosing different projects. And it's hard for you, I think, like we're saying, it's hard for you guys to kind of know how it is that we're prioritizing what we're doing.
Well,
I emphasize that and I echo that. I'd really like to, you know, it is going to be somewhat case by case, and I don't know that we can distill all these concerns into criteria, but we have to get some way of digging deeper on all of this stuff and where the value is and where the results are versus just the, you know, objective data. Because we don't have a whole lot of it.
So, Jane, this is Neil. So, if I might, it seems to me like maybe some of the struggle here is context, that you're kind of wondering how does this parcel or restoration or enhancement fit into the bigger picture? So I wonder if maybe a little bit more robust discussion within the application about how does this fit in with existing plans? So if you're going to acquire these prairie parcels, for example, how do they fit within the Minnesota Prairie Conservation Plan? Or how do they fit into the Minnesota Forestry Plan? Or whatever the relevant plan might be, how do they fit into the 25-year legacy vision?
Yeah, we've been trying to get to that, you know, with the criteria for all the time that I've been on here, you know, with the various questions we ask, like, you know, what plan does it address? But just listing the plan isn't very helpful at all, obviously. That's the way that you stated it, Neil, is a lot more, you know, appropriate for what we're trying to determine.
It's just to visually have some of that information. I mean, I don't know that we, in the maps that we send or don't send, this kind of inconsistency about how things really fit together. So I think we can do a better job of illustrating that, too. Mm-hmm. It's hard to textually describe it.
Right. We talked about that last time, too, about, like, LCCMR has the one graphic page.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was always really helpful to really consolidate. The world is going graphics. People don't read. So how do we start taking those prioritizations, the goals, the objectives into something that we can understand pretty quickly? And maybe that provides the context of location as well as prairies of plans as well as, you know, what the actual project entails.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have a map with some dots right now.
Right.
It's not very helpful.
Right.
Yeah. Jane, this is John. Something to consider, especially with the programmatic requests, is that there is some fluctuation and evolution in those after review and approval. And I think it's important to keep that in context, whether it's an easement program or an acquisition or an enhancement type request, that I think it's important to describe what we're doing in words and in visuals, but the words are helpful because they give context, as Neil said, how we're addressing the goals of the plan without overly focusing on the site specifics that could change and do. And I worry a little bit about belaboring site-specific attributes of a couple parcels that 2 years later change because reality changed. It may be an acquisition program right now. I mean, we're all experiencing, for whatever reasons, lots of interest in selling land, and we may go to great lengths to give you a proposal for 20 parcels with all these attributes, and then 2 years later, we do buy 10, but there's 10 new ones
right.
that are even better
right.
for all good reasons, but we've sort of describe to you, I don't like being disingenuous, so I don't want to go into great detail on these are the 10 we're going to do for sure, and then, you know. So.
We had that discussion last time, too, about the value of the parcel list and that it has to be in there, but that, you know, typically they don't end up the same, and so I would agree that it shouldn't be held to a specific location unless it's, you know, Marsh Lake. Guess what? You're going to Marsh Lake.
Right.
You know. so that balance, though, between when you're still selecting those areas that you're going to do your activities in, what are those criteria? What is that process? Yeah. What is the selection? And like the SWOT, there's the objective criteria, and then there's the other stuff, you know, that you get a gem that you didn't expect, and it doesn't fit any of those criteria or those things, but you can't just overlook it. You know, decisions still have to be made by humans.
Okay, so are we kind of clear on this? Is staff clear on where we're at? This is a criteria question we're going to ask about acquisition easement projects. I'm not seeing any nods from staff. I want to make sure we've...
Well,
so to clarify, you want a text box added that describes the evaluation model and strategies used for selection of easements, the acquisition, and restoration or enhancement locations. Yes.
I think that sounds pretty
and then
good.
You want a text box inserted after they check boxes where they have to tell how does your project address the goals of the plan you identified.
Sure.
Two different things.
Yep. Right.
So this is only for acquisition, easement fee, but not restoration. Is that correct or not?
I heard it that way. Certainly the one that Julie is recommending,
it was only for that.
It was only for acquisition.
Okay, so my question then is if we're giving scores based on this, we're going to almost have two sets of scores.
We're going to figure that out later.
Well, that, in my opinion, that's a big programming type thing that we need to think about because we're going to have two sets of data going forward. And to me, it would make sense just to you prioritize if you're restoration enhancement, tell us why you're focusing X, Y, and Z in these types of projects and this type of activity.
But and I hear your issue with that, but the truth is it's a very different type of activity. And we're going to struggle forever to balance restoration and acquisition. And they're not the same. They're just simply not the same. You know, the scoring process is a process mostly about forcing us to come to grips with what's in the proposal, understand it, decide who ought to come in and give more in the way of presentation. It's not an absolute. It isn't used to determine funding levels. It's just about how to get us to the point of understanding and formal presentation.
And yet I understand what Joe is saying, too. So, you know, just so that we get through this exercise for everybody's purposes, I think we need to agree as to whether there's value in each line on this chart and where we're going to put it, and if it's going to be a criteria or if it's going to be data requested in the proposal, in the application. You know, I think that everything doesn't have to be a criteria, and I think there's no way that we're going to make a fair set of criteria that apply perfectly to programs and projects equally. So I think we should be careful on having too many of these criteria that only apply to programs and that we're giving the maximum score to projects just so that we don't give them the low score. You know, I think we have to be really careful about that because it suggests that there's a difference in value to it, even though, as David has said many, many times over the last years, and to which I agree, and I know everybody probably does, is that these criteria are not the final score. It's a process used to get us to the table and to dig deeper. But, you know, the criteria is suggestive of the end value of an application. So I think we should be sparing in putting something down as a criteria so they don't apply to both programs and projects. Instead, we should have a text box so that it's addressed in the application. And then it'll surely be have room for additional screening questions when they come.
But I would also say, to Joe's point, you know, when I think about some of the proposals that came forward, you know, in this last funding round, like for instance, Shallow Lakes, Nikki Hansel-Welch explained exactly how they came about deciding which shallow lakes they were going to prioritize. When Rich Biskey came forward and talked about, you know, the southeastern bluff restoration of the forest area, they had a process about how they were going to prioritize that work. And so, I know that it's completely different, but it doesn't mean there's not some way to describe. I mean, it's not just, again, the old random acts of conservation thing. There are thoughts about it.
I don't disagree. I don't think we're disagreeing at all.
Right.
So, if I may, what would be, I want to go back to your question about restoration, or about easement, or enhancements, I'm sorry, and are they really, in this case, any different for consideration than acquisitions? If we come back to that basic question, how are you, and this is why I wrote it down, how you're ranking your proposed parcels, for acquisition, what is strike for acquisition? So how are you ranking your proposed parcels and what rationale or process are you using? If we think of that in terms of how they're addressing the conservation needs of the selected habitat parcels, whether it's for enhancement or for acquisition, that question could be answered by all, and it could be ranked adequately if it was one scoring item.
I would think so.
I agree.
I don't care. It's not that important to me.
Can I add one thing about that? The enhancement work, I'm hearkening back to when I was with DNR doing the roving prairie crews and working with area wildlife managers to get jobs done. And enhancement work is very fluid because the weather is always screwing you up someplace. It's too wet, it's too dry, there's too much snow. It's very fluid on where you can work, which was the whole point of having the roving crews, is that we can send them where there is work to do. There is a vast quantity of enhancement work that needs to be done. And I would not encourage you to go down the rabbit hole of trying to rank one enhancement project over another enhancement project. Is a tree cutting here better than a grass burning there? Your head will explode.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, at least within DNR, what we were doing is we were distributing workload across the state because of staffing needs rather than just hitting one work area as hard as we could. We distributed some work amongst many staff work areas because we had the staff that were there that could handle the work. Otherwise, the workload would be so enormous you couldn't get it done. So if you're recognizing those things when you ask the question of how do you prioritize your work, then I think that's okay. But if you're looking for how do you prioritize your enhancement work based upon strictly ecological characteristics, the practical nature of having restoration work to do and working in an ever-changing environment is going to mess it up, and you'll never be able to answer the question.
Although it's not random work.
No,
So you're still using prioritization on how you're deciding what work is going to be accomplished.
And it happens at the local level.
Sure.
Based upon what they need to have done and what the environmental conditions are and how many people you have available to do the work.
It sounds like a great response to a question.
That's right, exactly.
All right, I'm going to move us on.
To a good question.
Yeah.
People are making great progress.
Sixteen
seems like a non-question to me. Review, create additional screening questions, determine eligibility.
I think that ties back to like line 10. I think we should have a list of you know, questions or text boxes that address issues that are so important but we're not able to put into a nice, succinct criterion.
The cheat sheet.
Yes, cheat sheet or punch list or whatever you want to call it.
The cheat sheet you volunteered to create for all of us as we're listening to proposals.
Well, I really do think it's more of a staff job to do that, to recap what everybody's talking about, but I'll be happy to work.
Okay. Julie just told me I've been doing a very bad job as chair because
not at all the case.
Because at question four, or number four, it says we're going to discuss it at this meeting, which is to include additional questions within proposal applications related to land use, allowable tools, food plots, trails, motorized vehicle use, etc. Ron's going to be so mad.
Just so you know how this list came up, it's just it was a compilation of all the questions and remarks that were submitted originally when counselors were asked by staff several months ago. So there is some redundancy in here and some overlap.
I think we've pretty much taken care of that also from the additional questions and changes already on the online program, asking about is there other trails on the property provided in the utility bonus, etc.
Okay.
At the risk of slowing you down a little bit more, can I ask a question? I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here last time. I was flat on my back. My back was out. But has somebody gone through and compared the information that's being asked for in the call with the scoring and how that relates? And I have a specific example. So last year, I believe that there were points awarded for threatened and endangered species, species of special concern, etc. But there was never really a area within the call that specifically said what are the effects on these species, that will these species be. That information was pulled out on whether you put it in the introductory remarks or not. And we didn't. And so we got 0 points for most of our applications. And I guess that's on me for not going back and taking the score sheet and comparing it with the call. But I think that anything that you're scoring on, there should be a specific section within the call where you ask that question.
Well, Sandy, you know the answer to that, don't you? And
yep.
It's on there already, right?
It is there. We have a question on page 2. How does the request address Minnesota habitats that have historical value to fish, wildlife, species of greatest concern, Minnesota Biological Survey, rare, threatened, endangered? There's a text box people fill in right now for it.
But I believe that the points were just based upon threatened and endangered species and special concern, right? Because I think we spent our time in that text-limited box talking about habitat rather than...
Hey, Bill, you're skipping ahead to line 20. If you
Sorry.
Can save your remarks on threatened and endangered, that's a subject down the chart here.
Okay.
So you're
Thank
not
you.
Slowing us down. You're speeding us up.
Yeah.
I don't know what was rated on, because the rating was done by the council members, but that particular question aligned with the evaluation criteria. So that was number 2.
Yeah, that's the question that we're given multiple points for the different. It's split into one to one, a 0 to 1.5, isn't that correct?
Yep. Our current scoring system is
happening.
I mean, the purpose of that is to try to create an understanding of where there is something that's uniquely special, I guess I'd say. If you've got an endangered species that you're working on, you'd like to somehow acknowledge that that might have a higher priority than cutting costs are, in some people's minds, at least. we shouldn't... Okay.
I think the question is a challenge.
What line are we on now?
16.
We're on 16, but we kind of said we're moving past 16 and we're going to 17, which is improve application instructions and online system and related documents, which is to clarify the application, which is what we're working on.
Yeah, and the answer on 16 is Jane and staff will work on to compile.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay.
18?
And then.
Yes.
18.
Please. Add criteria: past performance and output delivery rate. How effectively activities match stated objectives. New applicants automatically receive total possible score. And the rationale is the statute. Someone want to defend this? And whether we want to have this criteria? Well, go for it. Except we can't hear you.
Now, there is history to look at, and we should be looking at it.
Okay, we heard that there's history and we can look at it. Nothing else you said.
Originally, when the first 5 years or so, we didn't have any data to even look at. Now we do, and that's what we should be looking at.
So that data being the final reports and updates to accomplishment plans? So.
Correct. And what I'm looking for here is, you know, how effectively the activities match the stated objective. It's a report card on past activities.
So is that something that we want applicants to report on themselves or staff to give us a report that we can be aware of as we're ranking proposals?
Maybe we want both, but I don't see any problem with scoring it as a criterion.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I think I would be really challenged to score this as a criteria for so many different reasons. You know, did they just get, you know, something last year? Is this only their second year? Well, then how am I going to rate their performance? Because I can't give them a zero if I don't have any evidence yet, knowing that sometimes it takes multiple years to report on outcomes. So I would be afraid, how do I rank somebody on something I really don't have evidence of yet? And then for those that maybe didn't line up with what they had said they were going to do, even if that project is over and they've done their final report, are there very valid reasons for that? And so things change. I mean, we know these are voluntary programs and, you know, all different kinds of things can change. So I'm just wondering whether it should be something that we ask about, but I don't know how successful I could be at rating, assigning numbers to things like that.
Well, we could give it a try. You know, there's nothing wrong with throwing it out there.
We're not hearing you.
Okay. It's a point in time. And there's nothing wrong with making some kind of teeth to the statute work along with this. Now, what it says there is new applicants would automatically receive the total possible score. But I think some of your concerns, Julie, could be addressed with how many points are assigned. And let's not forget that the points that are assigned in our ranking don't get a program funding or not. You know, it's another analysis that we have to look at as counselors, and I don't think we should be ignoring this one. I mean, we have other criterion and other criteria that are equally problematic in lining them up. I don't think we should shirk from that.
Well, I just want to say staff's tried to do a better job most recently by providing the council twice a year with updates based on the status reports, which is something we did not do in the beginning. And as well, you know, if we were to get an accomplishment plan amendment where a program was going to accomplish only half of the acres that they had thought they were going to accomplish, we would bring that before the council. So staff is kind of monitoring this like on a daily basis almost and would bring any problems to the
Yeah, and I don't want to take, you know, I don't want to do staff's work or vice versa, but, you know, I think that there's got to be some way to formalize it, and if it's only just to put in the instructions that they're going to be quizzed on this and have to explain their past performance and output delivery, that should be in there somewhere.
I don't have any issue with putting in the instructions that, you know, how you accomplish your past projects is going to be part of the consideration of future funding. That seems reasonably fair to me and clear, and then we can take staff reports on how things are going and use that as part of our criteria. I'd be hugely in favor of the staff giving us, before we actually make the decision for who we call in for proposals, so we can have a discussion about, do we have a problem with this or that with a specific past grantee? So it's part of the discussion, but I think a ranking criteria on this is really tough.
Okay.
Can I ask another question? Something that Jane said kind of tripped my trigger a little bit. Is that so? Let me try to frame it. So the council in deciding has which projects are going to be funded has used multiple different processes over the years, and those have sort of been decided after the call has been made. And so are you now working towards a standardized process? For instance, in the first few years, the score was used to determine whether you were even going to get a hearing or not. There was a cutoff point. If you were below the cutoff point, you didn't even get a hearing. Then you've gone to pretty much everybody's gotten a hearing. In some years, funding has worked the same way. Everybody above a certain score gets funded, and then what happens after that has been a little fluid. There's been other different varying approaches to decide what happens to those that are below the line. And I'm not saying any of these are right or wrong, but Jane, you said, and I agree with you, but you said that the score is just one of the pieces of information that's used to make the determination. But in some cases, the score has cut people out of the running because they didn't even get to come in and present their project. They were just done.
But I think that when we have done that, the score was so low because it didn't fit, and it became very easy as a result of the score. We didn't draw a line. We actually said this one shouldn't come in. And it wasn't a line that we drew above or below a certain score. It was literally, I read this one, let's not listen to it. Now, we don't have the problem that LCCMR has, which is, you know, 300 requests.
And
if we had 300 requests, you'd see a line drawn someplace differently because we'd have to.
And I'm not trying to be critical.
If I can jump in here, I think Bill is talking about something that is a good question, but it's not going to be something we solve here today or before we send the call out. You know, there are the criteria. There's the call.
You're breaking up. We can't hear you.
I think what she was going to refer
to. What's this? Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Okay. Bill is bringing up something that is different than the call or the criteria, and it is the process by which we start allocating. So first we develop the criteria, then we should match it up with the call, make sure that it's consistent, then we get all of the applications, and we apply the criteria to the applications, then we have a discussion as to who we're going to hear. And every year, who we're going to hear, that is not part of the criteria discussion. That's part of what are we going to do with this menu that we have in front of us this year. And it is varied depending on who our chair has been and by the nature of what our menu is. And then we finally get to the allocation. And the allocation is not dictated by the criteria alone. And the process does not...
Okay, the point is there are many steps along the way. This is a simple early step.
Yeah. What we're doing now is we're trying to work through and get the right criteria and get the right text into the applications so that we can do our job in ranking and hearing.
I'm going to move us on.
Okay.
Thank you. So 19 is add or modify criterion. Bang for the buck or move the needle forward.
More well put is return on investment.
Return on investment. You know, there are certain elements, and I'll use the Avon Hills initiative, where they looked at a reverse bid process for easements, that you can talk about all the criteria in the world, but this is a new technology to try to accomplish something new of lowering the price in, and that ought to get some recognition beyond it meets our criteria. Or, you know, the huge easement we did early on, you know, I mean, the opportunity to do 178,000 acres of easement is different than a really good project in Wright County. You know, do we want to just provide some mechanism for members to say, this one stands out to me in a way that's unique and ought to be considered as unique in some way, and recognize that? And maybe we get to it anyhow in the scoring, but our current system of scoring really doesn't allow us to put any value on something that's really has the opportunity to move us to a different place. And maybe it's okay to score everything the same, but it feels to me like acknowledging something has a different level of opportunity might be worthwhile.
And you know, this is an open-ended question where the applicant can really sell their project. Tell us what makes this really soar. You know, tell us a story, put dollar amounts on it, on what the total cost is over the years, or how many willing buyers you've got lined up, whatever all of those qualities are that aren't addressed in any other area. No, that can really be an open-ended question to sell your project.
Steve?
Are you looking for what's just beyond the price per acre here in terms of,
because we don't rule in or out by price per acre. That's just another thing to look at.
I mean, I can envision DNR coming to us and saying, we have negotiated a massive land exchange program that locks in this all of our land in three counties and gets rid of all the little parcels here, there, and everywhere that are tough for us to manage. And it costs us X number of dollars, but the benefit to wildlife long-term is absolutely huge. That's in a different category than, can you support a Cass County great project that connects properties in three different places? Can I acknowledge that some way? Can the applicant acknowledge it, and can we somehow recognize that when we're ranking the proposals?
You know, on the proposal ranking, the question about does this move the needle forward, I think my biggest concern about that question is, to me, that's a yes or no answer. And as a matter of fact, every single proposal was a yes, because yes, it does move the needle forward. The question is quality. You know, it should be more qualitative. The degree to which it moves the needle forward. I mean, and so what is it that pushes the needle forward? I don't want to go to 30. I want to go to 80 when I put the pedal down. You know, I mean, so it can't just be yes or no. It's got, and I would hope that through the narrative they'd be able to convey why it's, you know, why this thing is a hot rod and the other thing is not. You know, I mean, there's got to be some savvy to the writing there.
I agree.
But there's no ability for us to acknowledge that in our scoring system.
Because right now we're asking yes or no questions. Does this move the needle forward?
Well, no, I don't give everybody either a zero or a five or whatever the maximum is.
That's technically what the question asks, is does it, and the answer is yes or no. And so we have.
Okay, that's why we're saying add or modify the criteria.
Right.
Modify it. What's the wording you want it to say then?
Well, and I think the degree to which
it moves
the needle forward, you know, and maybe that includes some of those more creative or, you know, larger projects, whatever it might be. I don't know, and I wouldn't be able to word it to include every possibility, but
this is an ability for you to say to me, I thought this was really, really cool.
Right.
So that I have to listen to you.
You have to.
I have to.
To
you. When you see something that I might not see, it's really a way for us to communicate between ourselves as we do the scoring. In a way that, you know, my other thought is we really need to work on how we communicate and use the comments as we're reading these proposals, because they tend to just not be even considered. And I think we make a mistake by doing that. I don't know how to fix it, but it would fall in the same type of a deal. I'm all for a scale of does this move the needle forward? Is this unique? Something that maybe isn't asked specifically as a question on the proposal, but allows us, as we're reading the proposals, to respond and create a part of the ranking that says, here's something you need. That's really what because I assume that the executive summary and the write-up everybody's going to toot their horn to the extent they think it's at all possible, and we don't have to ask them to do it one more time. I think it's, do we think this is a good project, or a really exceptional project because it pushes the boundary of what people are doing.
And demonstrates a real return on the investment
or has a risk and a return reward that's worthy of consideration.
So am I hearing you say that you're thinking of, in this case, potentially an open-ended question, which would be a narrative-type answer?
I don't think it's a question on the application as much as a
subjective score.
A score by members as they're reading the proposal. Is that okay with council members that are here?
Well, yeah, that's what we have in there now.
Where is that in our criteria, our scoring criteria?
It's in number one now. Our first criteria is, does it move the needle, right? Or am I reading something wrong here?
In our scoring.
The first one.
Yeah.
Does it
in our those are our criteria, right?
We're scoring against that in a way that's...
No, again, I don't think it's policy that I consider it yes or no.
Well, I respectfully disagree that it's just yes or no. I think in the reading of the entire application, I've been able to put six.
We're not hearing you. You're breaking up completely.
Sorry.
Well, this is so delightful. Moving the needle is an existing criteria, and I am able to apply scores that are more than zero or six. But I don't think there's anything wrong with rewording it so that we get more meat on the bone.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know the criteria for what that means. Is that overall, you know, does that mean size? Does that mean quality? Does that mean innovation? Does that mean...
Well, you know, you can have that discussion, Julie, on each one of these criteria. Criterion.
Yeah, we're just on this one right now.
Everybody, can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, we've been lost here. You're not there.
Hello?
Yeah, you're here now.
every one of these criterion requires you to apply whatever your thought process is as a counselor. It's not going to be identical counselor to counselor. Each one of them requires you to read it and see what you think it means and be consistent in how you score within each year's menu and year to year. For instance, I might score leverage in a completely different way than you do, but I still am being consistent over time and within each year.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
Okay. So, I mean, do we want this as a... I mean, it's a criterion now, right?
I think it's a lousy criteria the way we have it stated.
So how would you state it?
The current way it says is the proposal takes actions aimed at habitat targets in ecological sections in a way and with enough effort to move the needle forward towards the target. I think it needs to say, is this unique and worthy of special attention? Or I'm not sure, Jane, but it's not.
Yeah.
This is so, you know, does it fit the criteria? Okay.
Is it, but how does it, or something like that. It's just the wording.
The wording sucks.
So let
staff work on the wording and come back to us at the next meeting rather than trying to wordsmith it here.
Agreed.
Thanks.
But Sandy's...
Okay. I don't know what David, when he read that statement... Where
I read that on the hearing evaluation. That's the criteria we score on. That's question number one.
When I
rank the proposals and send them back to you, after reading the proposal...
spreadsheet that you fill out?
On the actual spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's criterion number one. The proposal takes actions aimed at habitat targets in LSOHC ecological sections in a way and with enough effort to move the needle toward the target.
So staff is going to come back with a proposed revision. They may ask some of us to help them, but we're going to move on. Number 20 is the threatened and endangered species inventory. The issue here that we've already heard raised is we haven't specifically, we haven't tied them together pretty well. The 2D question on our member hearing evaluation is the proposal supports the maintenance and growth of populations of threatened and endangered species. There's no specific question in the application that really ties to that question, so you have to clean out whether or not someone mentioned that there's endangered species involved in the project. And so, you know, if you don't sort of work it into your proposal without being asked, you're dinged a point and a half.
I think one problem that we have here is that, you know, when you look at the RFP from 2015 last year. The evaluation criteria, so these are the 12 things that Lassard sends on Parish Council, review and score requests based on the following 12 criteria. That's what the proposers get. This is what they're writing their proposal on, and then the council members have a different set, and that's not how it should work. It should be, if these are the 12, the council members need to go through 1 through 12 and score on these so that they're...
Agreed.
The people who are writing the proposals know how they're going to be scored.
Right.
This goes back to line 2 on our chart where we want to link the application to the call and criteria and cross-reference in order once the criteria have been determined.
And so the issue with that, though, is that...
Joe, can you get closer to the microphone?
Yeah. So the issue with that, though, is in order for us to write the RFP, we have to know what your priorities are so that we can adequately address those, make sure that the questions address your priorities, and then make sure that's reflected in the proposal and in an online system so that when proposers respond to these questions, it follows up the chain so that the members can score.
Isn't that what we're trying to do?
I think we are, but we're... I want to make sure that we know exactly what your priorities are so that we can do the administrative tasks going backwards to make sure that we're getting what we need by March 3rd.
Well, that is what we're doing. We're trying to determine what criteria we should have and what should not be criteria, whether it should be in a text somewhere addressed in the proposal, and then cross-reference those and do it in order.
For me,
that's what we're doing.
The issue on number two is we have these four different things, you know, historical value, conservation concern, et cetera, et cetera. We split those into our scoring sheet into four that were worth anything from 0 to 1.5. And I think to go along with Bill Penning's comment about they didn't get any for, you know, points for, you know, the rare, threatened, or endangered, and I brought that up at one of the meetings and had a good conversation with David about, well, how do you consider these things? Because, you know, for a lot of the restorations, they're buying land that is in farmland. Does it have threatened or endangered species? Probably not. But it was historical value. And so when we split these up, it automatically creates zeros for some areas. And maybe this should just be considered all together, those four, just one ranking. Because if you split them up, some people are going to get zeros, but it kind of almost skews it to areas that it is.
It used to be one question.
It did used
to be. And when we reviewed the call last time, it got divided into four parts. But it used to be one question with one point or one set of points that you could give it a sliding scale based on how you address
how to the degree.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was last time it was broken apart.
Okay.
Used to be.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. I was just going to say that. I mean,
maybe it should be put back together.
Humpty Dumpty.
Is it? Would this be? Tell me if this would be the proper time or not. But staff has been trying to figure out how to visualize how this all goes together, the new criteria, the scoring, etc. And wondering how it pulls out so that you have wildlife and habitat, endangered species, and everything, all these different components of the criteria are scored or provided an area of scoring. We put together based on some other scores, like Fish and Wildlife Service uses and others, put together a graphic or an example for discussion. I don't know if this is the right time to hand that out, but it gives an idea of how, I think it gives a good idea of how potentially these criteria can fall into certain scoring areas, which may or may not be the way you want to do it. It also has a sample scoring set to it, which isn't maybe the way it should be. It's just to start the discussion. But are we at that point yet?
Well, yeah. Since I know Bob's about to leave.
Yes.
We have to get this resolved by March 3rd. Mm-hmm. And this is a discussion that's going to take more than another 15 minutes. We have a tentative hold on the date of February 25th. And, you know, maybe we just need another work session of this particular how do we come up with the criteria and the scoring so there's a proposal that's actually going on the 3rd to the council that doesn't need much tweaking or huge discussion, because you'll never get through it on the 3rd if you start to draft and approve something on the 3rd.
I've got commitments. I won't be here on the 25th.
Can you survive if a working group does it without you?
Well, we changed it a year ago, and now we're going to change it back. I mean, I think we're... I'm not sure what we're doing.
Let me ask you...
things better.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't see that. I mean, I think that we keep going back and forth here.
Well, Bob, I think we've made some progress, and, you know, but at the end of our work sessions, you know, what we can either do is what I suggested originally. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Originally, I said after each work session, we should come up with proposals to give to the council to say, yes, this is a criteria or no. But we're not doing that, so we're going to have to come up with a compilation of everything that we've talked about and modify all the criteria that we've said we should modify and how to do it. And we've already made some progress as of our last meeting. We all agreed on what we should do on a few of these things. And you're right. I mean, a lot of this stuff, there's no way we can even get it done. That's why I was urging to have more...
To have more what, Jane? You cut out. You cut out after have more.
We need... Oh, God. I'm just talking into nowhere, which is not uncommon, I guess.
We can hear you now. We just couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I know. And it's very frustrating. And it's not your fault. What we have to do is, after our work sessions, is come up with a work product to present to the council to vote on March 3rd. And I think we should continue to meet and work through as much as we can. Where we have clear consensus to make changes, I think we should. And if everything is just too sticky, this is what we ended up with last time, 2 years ago. There was too much push and pull on some issues that we decided not to change because there was really...
Okay, Jane, you're cut out again. This is your committee. It's certainly not mine, but I'm hearing you say you want to get your committee back together on February 25th to try to get resolution for some of this.
We're not going to agree on everything. I think what we should propose to the council on the 3rd is what we all agree would be clear improvement. And if all we're doing is arguing and going back and forth on the same issue over and over again, I don't propose changing it because we don't have anything better to offer yet. And there might be some just a very modest change this year. You can't expect to work through all of this stuff thoroughly and get consensus on all of it. We're not going to get there.
Well, Jane, I think where we're headed is that we're trying to get a criteria that we all rank everything the same. And until we get there, we're not going to be happy. So I think that we've got to have some...
We're not going to be able to rank everything the same. Well, we all come with different reasons for ranking, and we have to justify them. I mean, if our objective is to make something identical for each counselor, then we only need one counselor.
I don't think that's the purpose, but the purpose is so that it's clear what we're actually doing and bringing our own perspectives to it.
Right.
And perhaps giving us a little better guidance as to how to work in that collective environment.
I just think we ought to have a set of questions that the proposers can all feel comfortable in responding to, and that they're all going to have a fair shake at having their proposal considered and receive the proper consideration. We just need information.
Whatever you're saying, we can't hear, Jane.
I think that what Bob said is what everybody wants.
Okay, so... Are we meeting on the 25th to try to resolve something? It's your committee, not mine.
Well, I'll be there if people want to come and work proactively, absolutely. If you want to stop and just submit what we've done to date, we can do that.
Well, I'd like to see what the staff has put together on the ranking. At least to be able to take that with me and take a look at it. Do you have something that...
The ranking, we shouldn't be jumping ahead of the game and talking about ranking until we've decided what the criteria are. Once we have a set of criteria, then we can look at them all.
Mr. Chair and Jane, what we've come up with, this is just an example for discussion. It would have criteria and possible scoring, and you can look at it, but this is a way to start. This is where we have to be. We need something like this so that we can write the RFP.
Jane, since
no, this is, I disagree. Joe, I told you why I do, and David, I mean, either if somebody else wants to take over the process, then take it over. But in my opinion, you have to first decide which criteria you want and how you word them. Once you have that nailed down, then you can assign and have the discussion on points. But the worksheet that you have, Joe, I'm saying it has value, but we haven't worked through all the criteria yet, have we?
Well, I think that it addresses all of the criteria in a more concise and clear way for the people that are going to write the proposals. But if there are other ones, you know, we could just use this as a straw dog to get further along in the process, possibly. But it's up to you. I mean, this is just hopefully just to be a help.
Well, how can you have that ranked sheet there when we haven't even decided on our criteria yet?
Got both criteria and ranking, is my understanding. I'd like to take a look at it.
Yeah, now, it's
you can
just
look at whatever you want, but I'm saying how can you even start the discussion on ranking until we've all decided on what the criteria are?
Like I said, it's a way to get thinking about what the criteria could possibly be and how we would rank them. Instead of looking at it one by one, it's to kind of look at it.
Well,
as a
Joe,
package.
Why don't you and I talk after this and get our heads together on it?
I think you're in charge of whether or not we have a meeting on the 25th. I think you need to talk to staff and see how many people are actually capable of attending, because there's no reason to have a meeting that only two of us come to. And work with Joe, and they can send stuff out to us in the interim. But, you know, the third is coming soon.
Mm-hmm. And the big thing is just to make sure that we have a final product so that we can test to make sure that it works, so that we're not getting, you know, people are saying, hey, this doesn't work, and then the proposal goes through and our information then carry, and then we want to make sure it works because it's a lot of money and it's important.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But this is why I wanted two meetings in January. Do you hear me? Do you feel me?
We feel you.
Yes.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So I'm saying I want a meeting on the 25th. I would appreciate if staff would poll people to see how many can come. Depending on how many can come,
We have polled members, and Amanda knows who is going to be absent.
Right now, no Sue, no Chairman Anderson, no Barry, no Elizabeth. I don't believe Julie's able to make it.
I mean, I can. It would mean I'd have to miss out on a couple of other very important meetings that got scheduled. But I'd love to be in on this conversation. So even if there was just a few of us and we posted for a different time, I'd be very open to that. But, you know.
I think if we have two or three counselors that have been engaged thus far and the staff can be there, it's worth meeting.
What?
Mark is also not able to be.
Okay. I'd be happy to come in and work any other time. I would love to be able to do my other meetings on the 25th if we're not going to have, if that's a possibility.
So,
what time,
Julie?
She can't do the 25th easily, so if staff would maybe pick two other dates, poll the members, and work with Jane to set up a time for this working group to get together, that would be great. Okay. Thank
I'll
you.
Talk to Joe.
You do
I'll
that.
Talk to Joe.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for letting us be involved.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.